Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3 in the Word of God. First book there in the Bible. Have you ever gone to a football game and you're expecting to see a certain player and they bring out a replacement for him? You're kind of disappointed. Or if you go to a baseball game and the big slugger is up next and the pinch hitter comes up, you're kind of disappointed. Well, you get a pinch hitter or the third stringer today. So, some of you might be surprised when you go home, your timer oven hasn't gone on yet. So, hopefully that won't happen. You won't have to wait too long for your lunch today. No, I'm excited for the opportunity. I think the Lord has something for us each this morning. And some great things and thoughts here in Genesis chapter 3 that I trust the Spirit of God will help us to see this morning as we look into the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3, and let's begin by reading in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." You know, temptations are a reality in each of our lives. There's none of us here this morning that have not experienced the temptation of Satan. Doesn't matter how strong of a Christian we are, how weak of a Christian, it's true for all of us. We experience the temptations of Satan. He puts those things into our lives to try to get us to pursue that which is wrong, to get us to sin, to get us to do that which is wrong. For unbelievers, they experience the temptation of Satan. Now, they're very subject to his temptations. They're lost. Satan is their God. He's their master. And when he puts a temptation in front of them, it's very easy for them to bite that hook. For us as believers, we experience likewise temptation. However, we have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. We are different than an unbeliever. But nonetheless, we still experience the temptations of Satan. It's a great, very real battle in each of our lives. If any of us would be honest, probably every day there's temptations that Satan puts in front of us to seek to get us to fall. So temptations are something that we experience on a day-to-day basis. It's something we're all familiar with and all have experienced. And we see here in Genesis chapter 3 a very important passage that deals with really this matter of temptation. And I think some important truths this morning that I trust will be a help to each of us in our day-to-day combat against the temptations of Satan. The title of my message this morning is The Hiss of the Serpent. The Hiss of the Serpent. Before we can be victorious over Satan's temptations. And you know what? God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to yield to those temptations. You know, God wants us to be victorious, and we can be over those temptations. But there's a couple important truths that we need to understand that I think we can see from this passage this morning that will enable us and help us and provide a good foundation for how we can be victorious over the temptation of Satan. So the hiss of the serpent. First of all, we need to understand the power of the serpent's hiss. The power of the serpent's hiss. Satan's temptations are very powerful. We'd be very naive to think that, oh, we can handle, we can dabble, we can listen to the voice of the devil. But no, he is powerful. His temptations have great power behind them. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible calls them the fiery darts of the devil. And he likes to throw those darts at us and get us to fall to temptations. His temptations are like the arrows of a skilled archer. He has good aim. His arrows silently slice the air and strike the unguarded victim. Notice there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So we see the power of the serpent's hiss. His temptations are very powerful. What makes Satan's temptations powerful? Well, you know what the Bible describes there as a subtle. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. It has the idea of being cunning or tricky, sly, enticing. And that's who Satan is. And his temptations have that power with them of being very cunning, being tricky and sly and seeking to get a person to fall. Satan is very wise in his temptations. He's been around for many years and knows what men will fall for and knows how to tempt us. So he's very subtle in his temptations. And that subtleness gives him great power in his temptations. We see right there from the beginning, later in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, or 2 Corinthians, the Bible calls him the angel of light. And right here from the beginning, we see him doing that, presenting this situation and kind of presenting himself with this temptation that's very attractive and presenting, so to speak, as an angel of light, something good here that he had for Eve. So Satan, he's very subtle, and we ought to be aware of that. When he tempts us, he knows what's going to where we're weak. He knows what temptation we could easily be allured by. He knows what temptation might have no attraction to us, and you know, he doesn't use those ones. And Satan, he's a very subtle in his temptations. We also see that the temptations of Satan are very attractive. In verse 4 and 5, he presents the situation to Eve, and Eve is very enamored by it and probably starting to really think about it. He says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So Satan's temptations have much attraction to them. He tries to lure. And Eve there, he promised, he said, "Your eyes will be opened. You'll be able to discern, know good and evil. You'll be as gods." Man, that was attractive. And you look there at verse 6, it says that the woman saw it. And she began to think about that. She began to realize, wow, yeah, maybe God's holding back the best from me. Maybe I do need to take this fruit. But Satan, he's very attractive in his temptations. And you know what? He knows where our weakness is. He knows what will allure us. And that makes his temptations very powerful in our lives. You know what? Satan has the ability to make sin look good, doesn't he? You know, he made Eve think that it was the right thing for her to go and take of that fruit and disobey God. He made it look like it was the best thing she could do. And Satan has that way of making sin look good. And if we're not careful, we're going to bite into that lie of the devil. Satan came to Eve as a friend. He wanted to show her how to be happy and wise. He figured, told Eve that this was the best thing for her. And if she did this, she obeyed him, she'd be happy, she'd be wise, she'd know as be as gods, knowing good and evil. So we must be very careful about Satan's temptations in our life. They can be very attractive. We have to be on guard because he's seeking to destroy our life. Temptations have much greater advantage when one is alone. I think we can see here in this example in Genesis 3, the serpent came to Eve. And I don't know exactly, I can't say exactly where Adam was at the time, but apparently he came to Eve and said this unto her. And you know what? The temptations of life have much more advantage in our lives when we're alone. And Satan, he knows how to get us. And if he can get us when we're alone, we have very much more likely to fall to temptations. You know, that's why it's important we don't go to certain places alone. If we know that we have a weakness in our life, and we know that going to that place is going to provide a temptation that we are weak and vulnerable to, you know, it's best that we don't go there. It's best that we don't go alone. It's important for us to beware of danger. You know, if we know that we're vulnerable and we're susceptible to yielding to easily to temptation or certain temptations, you know, we need to beware of where we go. Because Satan's temptations have much greater advantage when we are alone. Don't put yourself in certain situations. You know, if we know we're weak in certain areas, we ought not to put ourselves in those certain circumstances. We see here, fell to the lie and temptation of Satan. And maybe if Adam would have been right there saying, no, we're not going to listen to him. Or if somebody else would have been there, there wasn't anybody else. But if there would have been somebody else, you know, maybe she wouldn't have been deceived. And how many times do we fall to temptations because we're alone? We need to protect ourselves. We need to do all we can so that we don't fall when we're vulnerable. We don't yield to those temptations when we're alone. And the Bible makes reference to that. You know, woe to him that is alone. He hath not another person to help him up. And we ought to be on guard. We ought to be sensitive to the circumstances we find ourselves in. You know, Satan also took advantage of Eve by finding her near the forbidden tree. It was easy for Satan to tempt Eve when she was standing right there by that tree. You know, if Eve was as far away from that tree as she could have been, it would have been really hard for Satan, the serpent, to tempt her to take of that tree. He got her to turn and look right there at that fruit. It says right there in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she took it. You know, temptations that are strong, when the devil, things that we are, maybe are weak, areas that we're weak in, when the devil finds us near them, it's easy for him to get us to fall. You know, if we keep our distance, if we stay as far away from that temptation, you know, it's going to be very hard for the devil to get us to fall. So Satan, he takes advantage by finding us, or as he did Eve, close to that thing that God commands us not to do. You know, what is wrong should be clearly avoided. If there is something that is wrong, we shouldn't try to see how close we can get to that. We should stay as far away from that destructive thing as possible. If God commands us to not do a certain thing, we ought to be as far away from it, avoid it as much as possible. Eve was easily deceived because she was right there by that tree. And if she was able, yielded to that temptation. You know, maybe there's things in our lives or maybe we're tempted by certain clothing, you know, to wear, and we know that it's wrong. Well, you know what? If we keep it in our drawers at home, it's going to be really easy when we're weak to fall to that temptation. You know, if there's music that we know isn't pleasing to God, it'd be better for us to get rid of it, to destroy it, than to hold on to it, than to put it up on the visor of our car. And you know what? It'd be really easy when Satan's tempting us just to pull that out and slip it into the CD player. God wants us to avoid, to stay far away from that which can be an easy temptation for us. You know what? If the internet is a temptation for us, then we ought to stay away, far away from it, or don't be on it alone, so that there's that protection, so that Satan can't easily destroy us. Another interesting fact that I think we can see here in Scripture is that Satan will often use people we least expect to tempt us. Adam, I don't know if he was involved in all of this conversation with the serpent, but we see in verse 6 that Eve took the fruit, she ate of it, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate of it. You see, temptations sometimes come from those we least expect it. I wonder today if maybe certain homes here today, maybe your home that you come from, it's easy to fall to temptations there. Maybe the words that are said in your home are easy to cause another person to fall in your home. Maybe a friend, maybe a sibling, maybe a parent. They say things, they do things that make it easy for another person to fall. And it's a tragic thing. But you know, we need to be aware of that. That sometimes the temptations will come from those we least expect it. Here, Eve was the one that got Adam to sin, to fall, and bring the sin of curse of sin upon the race of man. What a tragedy. Be on guard. You know, we're all sinners, and you know what? The devil sometimes can use us to provide temptation for another person, to get another person to be discouraged, to cause another person to get upset about authority or about a teacher or about some other person in their life, and they begin to start mulling this over and thinking about it. Satan will use others, maybe even those we least expect, to provide those kind of temptations. I think another important truth that we should learn from this about the subtlety and the power of Satan's lies and temptations is that, you know, we ought not to give any time to the serpent. We ought not to give any time to the devil. We ought not to give any time to listening to the devil. Eve corresponded with her. She reasoned with the serpent. And you know, the serpent, he's wise, he's cunning, he's smart, he's intelligent, and he knows how to say things in a certain way. He knows how to lure through his words. And if Eve, right from the beginning, would have just turned and gone away, or turned and said no to the devil, that may have, the temptation may have never presented itself for her to take of that fruit. But she listened. She reasoned with the devil. She responded. She answered. Would it be better for us just to say no, to resist the devil when he tempts us? We have to remember that Satan is very powerful. And if we allow ourselves to interact, to listen to the voice of the devil when he's tempting us, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We need to be quick to respond, to say no, and to ignore the voice of the devil. And Satan, Eve, she talked with the serpent. She listened to him. She responded. She reasoned with him. And you know what? If we're in that habit of kind of not being decisive to do what's right, and we kind of think, well, is anybody going to notice? Will anybody see? Nobody's going to see me. You know, will it really hurt this one time? You know, that's when we're going to fall. Because we start listening to the voice of the serpent. The hiss of the serpent. We have to understand the power of the serpent's hiss. Secondly, I want us, if we are to be victorious over Satan's temptations, we must understand, secondly, the lie of the serpent's hiss. The power of the serpent's hiss, secondly, the lie of the serpent's hiss. Every temptation of Satan contains a lie. You see, he's not truth. He doesn't have truth in him. He's a liar. Every temptation that Satan offers us, that he puts up in front of us, is a lie. It contains a lie. There may be some truth in it, but it's a lie. And he's seeking to deceive. Look there in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That was a lie. He came right out and lied to Eve, completely contradict the word of God in what God had said. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Here we have a great verse describing Satan. And I think some great truths we can learn here. About every temptation that Satan offers has a lie in it. Why is that? Well, John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, Ye of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. He is the liar and the father of it. And right from the beginning of time, we see that truth. He's a liar and the father of it. Every temptation that Satan offers, that he lures us with, has a lie. And if we would realize that during that time of temptation, oh, he's lying to me. He's not telling me the truth. You know, we probably wouldn't listen to him. We need to be aware of that. One man said, all Satan's apples have worms in them. They may look good on the outside. They may look polished. They may look delicious. I think of some of Mr. Griffin's Honeycrisps. Oh, they look so wonderful. But you know what? All Satan's apples have worms in them. There's a lie inside. And he's seeking to destroy. He doesn't tell the truth. It may look wonderful. It may look appealing. It may look like the right thing. But you know what? It's a lie. If it's from the devil, it's a lie. That's why it's important as young people, as adults, that we get our thinking from the Bible. That's why it's important that we are yielded and obedient to the voice of the Spirit of God. If we aren't, we're going to be sucked into the lie of the devil. See, the Word of God is what gives us truth and what keeps us straight. And if we don't listen, if we aren't filling ourselves with the Word of God, we're going to be listening to the lies of the devil and think that they're truth. You know, the devil today is saying that living for money or living for the partying or forgetting about God, you know, don't worry about those things. That's what's right. And he makes it look appealing. He makes it look like it's the right thing to do. And so many people are caught up today in the lie of the devil. And they're believing it, but they don't know that it's bringing destruction. You know, young person, the devil wants you to think that, oh, I don't need to live for God. It's not that important. It's not that important. He doesn't want you, maybe adults or young people, he doesn't want you to give to the Lord's work. He can make it look like, oh, why would you do that kind of a thing? He doesn't want to give us to give of our time. He wants us to dress like the world. He wants us to talk like the world. You know, that's the lie that Satan puts out in front of us. And we have to be careful not to obey the lie of the serpent. If it is from the devil, it's a lie. I just find it so fascinating there in verse 4, Satan flat out lied to Eve. You know, Eve knew what God had said, and the devil flat out lied to her, and she still listened. You know, it'd be like if a little child or maybe one of your children, when they're younger, maybe you can think of illustrations like this. They weren't supposed to go into the cookie jar and they have chocolate all over them. And you ask them, did you take any of the cookies? And they say, no. Well, you're not going to believe them because the evidence is very obvious. Well, Satan, he flat out lied and yet she still believed it. And the devil can flat out lie to us and we still believe the lie of the devil. It's tragedy. And I trust that we will begin to realize that the temptations of Satan, those things that he puts into our life, no, there's a lie there. He's lying to us. He's trying to deceive us. We also see that Satan's lies are an attack against God's Word. The lie of the serpent's hiss, he is attacking the Word of God. Everything here that Satan did was in contradiction to the Word of God. And when Satan is tempting us, when he is alluring us, you know what? He's contradicting the Word of God. He's contradicting God. Satan gets men first to doubt, and when they doubt, they deny. They then deny the Word of God. He says, yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said? God didn't really say that, did he? He didn't really mean that. Yea, hath God said? Wow, what an amazing thing. He's attacking the Word of God. You see, when you hear anybody questioning the Word of God, you should listen for the hiss of the serpent, John R. Rice said. Listen for the hiss of the serpent. You see, Satan's lies, his temptations, are a direct attack against the Word of God. Every temptation Satan puts in front of us, he's getting us to question God. He's getting us to question. He got Eve to think, oh, maybe there's something better. Maybe if I do what Satan's trying to get me to do here, that'll be better for me. Maybe my pastor, he isn't right. Maybe what God's word says, I don't know if that's really what it means. And Satan gets us to doubt, begin to question the word of God and the truth. And there is a great attack on the word of God today. We've been hearing pastors' messages on the last days in 2 Peter. And what was one of the characteristics? They don't love the truth. They want to tear down the truth. And that's prevalent today in our society, an attack on the word of God. And there's no question, there's no doubt that Satan is behind it all. Because everything he does is an attack against the word of God. You know, he gets us to doubt his word. He gets us to doubt his goodness. He gets us to think, well, you know, everybody's doing this today. Maybe it's okay if I do that. And we get caught up. Oh, that kind of music isn't that bad. We start listening to a little bit. Oh, that dress, of the world, that's not that bad. Or, that modern dating, that's not a bad idea. I can start dabbling with that. That's not that tragic. And the devil gets us to start doubting his word. He gets us to start doubting the goodness of God. You see, God has the best in store for us. He's not trying to cheat us. He's not trying to make us miss out on something. You know, he has the best in store. And when we believe the lie of the devil, we're saying God doesn't have it good enough for us. We're saying that the devil is offering something better for us that is more attractive. God's goodness here is not being seen, and the devil has something better for us. You know, we ought to fill our lives with the word of God so we can recognize when Satan is tempting us. We ought to fill our lives with the word of God. And when that devil offers a lie, we'll be able to say, no, that's contradicting scripture. That's not what God says. When the devil puts that temptation up there, we need to be sensitive and discerning so that we can see and hear the lie of the serpent. We also ought to be in the habit of obeying immediately. Don't question God. If God says it, we need to obey. And if we're in the habit of obeying immediately when Satan puts that temptation, we're not going to yield to it. Because we obey immediately to the voice of God. Don't question God. That's such an easy temptation for us today. You know, all it takes is a glimpse, and we can be swallowed into the lie of the serpent. Eve, there in verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, when she saw, all it takes sometimes is one glimpse, and we can believe the lie of the serpent. One glimpse, and we can believe the lie of the serpent. A glimpse of the world, a glimpse of sin. All it takes, and we can believe the lie. Young person, just takes one glimpse, one little taste of the world, and it can destroy our soul. One glimpse of the lie of Satan, and it can deceive us forever. And you know, we have to be so sensitive the lie of, in understanding and recognizing the lie of the serpent. He is trying to destroy our life. So this morning we've seen already the power of the serpent's hiss. Secondly, the lie of the serpent's hiss. And now thirdly, if we are going to be victorious over Satan's temptation, we must understand, thirdly, the goal of the serpent's hiss. What is the serpent's goal? What is he desiring? What is he after when he tempts you? When he tempted Eve, what was his goal? We looked at this a little bit, but he wants us to doubt God's goodness. Every temptation that he puts in front of us, he's getting us to doubt the goodness of God. Oh, there's something better for you. There's something better than what God has to offer. Satan got Eve to think that there was something better, that somehow God was withholding good from her. You know, what does the Bible say? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God has the best in store for us. There may be trials, there may be hardships that we face, but you know, they pale in significance to the destruction that Satan gives when we follow his lie and his destruction. See, he's getting us to doubt the goodness of God. Was it really better that Eve and Adam ate the fruit? Did Satan really offer something better than? Think about that this morning. Was it really better for Eve to take that fruit? Was it really better? Did Satan really have something better to offer to them? Where would we be today if Satan hadn't tempted them? If Eve hadn't yielded and Adam hadn't yielded to that temptation? Where would we be today? You know, I don't know if Scripture would have been necessary, but it wouldn't have been, what we read in Scripture wouldn't have been the same as what we have here today. We live in a world of unhappiness, sickness, hatred, murder, hurt, sorrow, sin, judgment. More than that, we are fallen creatures, separated from God, condemned. We are all condemned because Adam and Eve doubted the goodness of God. Think of that one decision, that one yielding to sin, and all the consequences that it brought. All the sorrow and heartache of life that it brought. Was it really worth it for Eve and Adam to yield to that temptation, to take of that fruit? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Not nearly at all. There was no comparison. And see, God is getting us to doubt His goodness. Friend, if you would just realize that God has the best in store for me. If I obey Him, if I listen to Him and follow His command, you know what? He has the best in store. Satan can be so deceiving and get us to doubt, but you know what? That's such a lie. And look at all the sorrow and all the pain that has come as a result of that one decision to believe the lie of the devil. So the goal of the serpent's hiss is to get us to doubt God's goodness. It's also for the destruction of our lives. Satan, he is our enemy. He's not our friend. He came in a way that made Eve think maybe that he was a friend. He had her good in mind. But you know what? We have to understand that the devil is seeking to destroy our lives. He's not our friend. He is our enemy. We have to see him as that. You know, this world, the system that he is in charge of is all geared at destroying our life. You know, his arrows are drawn. His fiery darts are ready to be launched and to destroy us and to take us down as Christians. He wants to destroy our life. Turn over to a familiar verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. Every temptation he puts into our lives, it's because he's seeking to destroy us. And we see here in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That doesn't sound like he's a friend. That doesn't sound like he's on our side. No, he's out to destroy us. He's seeking whom he can devour. He's looking for that person that's not on guard, that's vulnerable, and he's seeking to destroy them and devour them with their life. You know, any temptation that Satan puts in front of us is to destroy us. It could be simply, well, not simply, but it could be just the temptation to react to our wives, to our husbands. That simple reaction, the temptation to get bitter. You know, to look at the wrong things, to skip church, to not read our Bible, to not listen to authority. Just those kind of temptations, Satan is seeking to put them in front of us to get to destroy our life. And it's a tragedy that so often we fall to his temptations. And they're to destroy our life. John R. Rice said, "Oh, how that old lie of Satan has deceived and damned its millions. Satan promises happiness,
But in the bottom of the cup of nectar is gall and bitterness. All Satan's apples have worms. All Satan's promises are lies. All Satan's good times end in heartbreak. All Satan's scholarship leads to the darkness of eternal night. With blinded mind, perverted heart, soul estranged from God. Satan, that's what he's after, to destroy us, to pull us away from God. And friend, you may be here today without Christ, and the very goal of Satan is to keep you from fellowship with him. And he's tempting you. He's getting you to think, oh, don't go after the way of God. Don't obey the Bible. My way is better. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. Satan is seeking to destroy sinners in hell. And that's why God in his mercy is seeking to rescue us and save us, that we could be rescued from destruction eternally in hell. So this morning we've seen the power of the serpent's hiss, the lie of the serpent's hiss. Thirdly, the goal of the serpent's hiss. What is his goal? To destroy us, to get us to doubt God. Have you been doubting? Have you been questioning God, his goodness? Fourthly, I want us to see the answer to the serpent's hiss. What is the answer to the serpent's hiss? And there's just a few of these here this morning that I think are really foundational Bible truths that are key for us being victorious over this lie and temptation of Satan. First of all, turn where we read this morning, Matthew chapter 4. The first answer to the serpent's hiss is Scripture, the Word of God. As I've said a few times, that's why it's important that we're in the Word of God. That's why we're important we're studying God's Word, that we're in the Lord's house under the preaching of God's Word. Because the Word of God, the Scripture, has the power to thwart the temptations of the devil. Matthew chapter 4, we have here the temptation of Christ. And when he was being tempted, he always responded with, "It is written." In each of these passages, you can look back to Deuteronomy and see where he was quoting from. See the verses of Scripture that he was quoting. Christ used the Scripture, the Word of God, to go against the attacks of Satan. It says, "It is written, man," verse 4, "shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." In verse 7, it says, "It is written again." And verse 10, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Christ used the Word of God to be a defense against the attacks of Satan, those temptations. So the Word of God is one of the answers to the serpent's hiss. We also see that prayer is an answer to the serpent's hiss. Turn to Mark chapter 14. Maybe you can relate with this morning. In the hour of temptation, the trial, when Satan, you sensed his temptation, and you simply pray and you commune with the Lord, and it's like he gives you the strength. He gives you the power to be victorious over that through that prayer. Mark chapter 14 and verse 38, it says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." When we're in prayer, we're in communion with God. We're fellowship with him. And we're very discerning when we're in fellowship with God, and we can sense the attacks of Satan. And that's why it's critical that our lives are consistently in prayer, and we're communing with God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and beginning verse 14, it says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed from into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that time where Satan's temptations are the strongest, when we sense his darts being hurled at us, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. We need to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He wants to help us in those trials, in those temptations. You see, Jesus is very aware of those temptations that come into our life. He knows them. He knows every one of them. And He can strengthen us. He can enable us to be victorious over the temptations of Satan. A third answer to the serpent's hiss is we need to resist the devil. Turn to James chapter 4 and verse 7. We see this truth illustrated in other places as well. Resisting the devil. We see Christ resisting the serpent with Scripture, using the Word of God. And that would be a good way for us to resist the devil. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If we see and sense Satan attacking us, we need to resist him. And what is the promise? He will flee from you. He will flee from you. What a great truth, resisting the devil. We also see, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. A fourth answer to the serpent's hiss is taking the way of escape. Like I said a moment ago, Jesus is very aware of our temptations. And He doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us. He wants to use those temptations to draw us closer to Him. He wants to use those temptations to get us and to see we need Him, to get us to be more dependent upon Him. And He always provides a way of escape during the temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." What that means is, if you're facing a temptation, you're not the first one that's faced it. There's others that have faced it. It's common to man. Satan uses the same old tricks that he's always used. And there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Don't think nobody else knows your situation. Don't think that this is a new problem for God to handle. No. There's no temptation that is taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Be encouraged by that this morning. We're not going to remove the temptations of Satan. But you know, we can be victorious. He's not going to allow us to be tempted above that we're able to handle. And be encouraged through that this morning. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. See, God always provides a way out of that temptation. It's never like we're facing a temptation and we have no other choice but to yield to it. No, God always in His mercy and His love provides a way to escape that and prevent us, keep us from sinning. Temptation isn't the sin. It's when we yield to that temptation that we sin and disobey God. And God in that temptation will always provide a way of escape. A way to get off away from that temptation. And I wonder this morning, how easy is it for you to fall to the temptations of Satan? He's tempting each of us here today. How easy is it for us to yield to that? How easy? Well, we need to put into practice the answers to the serpent's hiss. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in prayer, spending time in prayer. We need to put forth that exercise of resisting the devil. And then that fourth way of taking the way of escape. You know, maybe you recently have been discouraged because you have fallen. Maybe you're just don't know how you can get out of certain temptations or trials that you're facing in your life. Friend, there is hope. You can be victorious. God does want to provide that way for us, a victory. And if we start putting into practice the answers to those temptations, the answers to that hiss of the serpent, you know, we'll begin to see God give us victory. in power in our lives to be victorious over the serpent. This morning, would you understand that the serpent is seeking to destroy our lives? Friend, he's not your friend. He's not on your side. He doesn't have your good in mind. No, he is seeking to destroy. And if we begin to listen to the lie of the devil, if we begin to yield and hear his voice, you know, we're going to believe his lie. And it's going to destroy us. It's going to pull us down. And I trust that these truths that we've seen here this morning from Genesis chapter 3 will be a great help for us. Because, you know, God doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to yield to sin, to temptation. He wants us to be victorious. And what God needs is a church that's filled with people that know how to deal with those temptations that Satan puts up with us. And that puts up for us. And that we know how to overcome them with the Lord's strength and with His power. And be victorious over that. If we're a defeated church, if we're defeated individuals, if we're defeated Christians, you know what? It's only going to get harder and harder for us to defeat those, be victorious over those temptations. And if we can put into work, practice those answers to those temptations, you know what? God will begin to give us His grace and His strength to be victorious. And as God's people, you know, we need to be victorious. We have the Spirit of God living in us. We ought not to be controlled by the devil. We ought not to be at the mercy of his temptations. No, God wants us to be victorious. And what is it in your life this morning that God has been showing you that there's a temptation that is very strong in your life and it's easy for you to yield to? Well, understand that the devil, it's a lie. His temptation's a lie and it's for your destruction. And that ought to be a sober warning for us to flee to the Lord, to find refuge in Him. If you're saved, we have that eternal salvation that He offers. But you know, He wants to deliver us right now from that sin that we're struggling with, and He can. And so this morning, don't be destroyed by the lie of the serpent. Don't be deceived. Don't obey. Don't reason with the devil. Don't listen to him. And by God's grace, I trust each of us will be victorious and to put into practice the exercises of reading God's word and praying, resisting the devil, and always taking that way of escape that God gives us. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful this morning for the truths of your word. And Lord, would you help each of us as your people to not believe the lie of the devil? May we be sensitive to those temptations that he puts in us, in front of us, and be quick to turn and run to you, Lord. I pray for maybe individuals here this morning that have been falling recently to temptations in their lives. And Lord, we all struggle with them. We all face temptations. But Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God, by the grace, help of the Spirit of God this morning, we'd be willing and ready to recognize our need and turn to you, Lord, for deliverance and help in those temptations, in those trials. And Lord, as your people here this morning, we ask for victory over temptations. We've asked for victory, Lord, over the lies of the serpent that we have been believing. And Lord, the things of this world that so often look tempting and attractive, Lord, may we see the rottenness behind it. May we see the lies that Satan is putting in front of us. And may we not yield to those temptations. And Lord, I pray for young people here. Lord, the temptations of Satan are very great at that age to destroy their lives, to snatch away the rest of their lives from serving you and living holy, pure lives. Lord, for adults that maybe are in worldly environments each day, Lord, would you give them your grace to be victorious? Lord, to be have that communion and fellowship with you and where they can experience that consistent victory and over those temptations. And Lord, for each of us this morning, may we recognize that the serpent is seeking to destroy us, that he is a liar and the father of it. And may we not be deceived. May we not be drawn in by his temptations. And I pray that you would do a work here in each heart this morning. And with eyes closed, heads bowed, eyes closed, You know, we're going to have a moment of invitation. I trust that if God is working in your heart, if there's an area that somehow God put his finger on and showed you this morning that you need his grace, his help in, or some understanding that he's given you, I trust that you will deal with that before God and seek his help and really be victorious over the temptations that Satan puts in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless this invitation. And, Lord, if there's work that needs to be done in lives, I trust that you would help them this morning to get help in that area. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.